And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I'm covering down. So I decided to yell something at JP. I'm sorry. I had to mute my mic and go yell. JP is asking me for the simple text just went out again.
You got logged out again?
I did.
I'll put it on the board over there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I don't even know what to do now. I just totally lost my train of thought. Oh, I know.
Dipper number one.
Dipper number one. Let's do that. So I'm in this this first piece right now on Find the Children. And, you know, you can probably gather from my my monologue how I feel about this topic. And I want to give you a little background on this. So as part of my overly eclectic, sometimes schizophrenic resume, is the way I call it. Because here's the thing. Let me just say this about me. If you've looked at my resume ever, you may look at it and go, are you sure those are all you? Yes, they are. And that's because I've made a habit of seeing that if God said, go here, I go there. And it doesn't matter to me whether it looks like something that just made good sense to the rest of the world. It was the place where I was supposed to be. So, yes, I have this military thread that ran through my life. Airborne Ranger, the whole thing. Did tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Pentagon, all of it. Retired as a colonel. That was mostly guard and reserve time, which no taking away from it because it was true service. But then I've also got, of course, been practicing law for 23 years. I didn't go to law school, though, until I was in my 30s, which meant that I was doing something prior to that. Well, I also spent 8 years in the state Senate. Yes, I did. But the piece that I probably haven't touched on as much, but it was surely a part of my life, is a massive piece of my life, is the first 10 years post-college for me, I was committed full-time to working with kids. And a lot of times it was the most vulnerable kids. Kids who had oftentimes been abused or were in a bad way. So a number of those years was in full-time ministry with an organization called Young Life. And then at the same time, there was several of those years, 3.5 actually, where I worked in an adolescent treatment center. And that treatment center, I mean, it got to the point that sometimes it was hard not to take it home with you. Because, yes, some of those kids had self-inflicted wounds, and, yes, I understand that addiction is still a choice to some degree, and, yes, I understand that there are things that kids do when they have behavioral problems that they do, but I also saw what the world can do to a kid. And I would find myself sometimes thinking I had just seen the last of it. I'd finally seen the worst, and then I would see the next one come in, and I'd go, my God, why do these things happen? I mean, I know we live in a depraved world. I know there are people out there that I would never allow to spend time with my kids or grandkids. I know that there are people that I wouldn't trust to walk my dog, much less babysit kids. But then when you see them, you're still like, oh my God, you guys exist. You people are real. And you think, how do you exist in life? How do you get by? How do you sleep at night? And part of that may very well be because they have no conscience. The true definition of sociopathic is meaning that they have a mental status that does not allow them to connect to the same feelings and interests and sometimes even the rights and wrongs that the rest of society does. All that to say, I care about kids a lot. And I will tell you this, I have raised my kids. My kids are wonderful. They're grown now. I have, Charlene and I have said several times, it's amazing to us. We feel like we raised kids that are better than us. I mean, I wish I was like my kids when I was their age. At the same time, I now have grandkids, and they are young. They're tender age. They're one's about to turn 6, the other one's 3. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I used to say this to kids, like high school kids when I was doing ministry. I would talk to them about what Jesus did on the cross, and I would point out to them that for God so loved the world, and that meant you, and you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and I said, I want you to think about something. I said, that didn't hit me near as hard until I was a dad. I said, because I can tell you right now, as a dad and now as a granddad, I wouldn't give one of my kids for any of you. Not a one. That's how deep his love for you is. But I say that because also I'm telling you why this topic means so much to me. I have spent years steeped in what it means to try and rescue kids, help kids, minister to kids, counsel kids. And it's a never-ending you know, opportunity to do that. And we need more people who are willing to step into the fray and do that. But we also need more people to pay attention to what's being done to kids. The last 4 years, in my opinion, have been a feeding frenzy for evil. Now, I know I'm being weighty today. It's Friday afternoon. We'll lighten it up later. Right now, though, you need to understand that I think that what I'm saying right now, listen, if you're having this water cooler conversation with somebody later on, you go ahead and quote this. And if you're comfortable, just use it as your own, but you're welcome to attribute it to me. I don't care. But the bottom line is I think that much of what happened over the last 4 years to kids as an official act or as a promotion of a policy or as something that was done in the courts or as something that at the very least was led by the White House was just nothing less than evil. It was. I can look in scripture and I can find stories of child sacrifice and think, how does a society get that far removed? And then I can see some of what's happened here. How does it become okay to say, yeah, we're going to carve you up to make you different than the way you were born because we think that science no longer matters. And if you feel like you want to be a girl, we're going to carve you up till you are one. Sort of. Maybe. Kind of. Not really. But we're going to say it is. How does a society get to the point that it can open up the borders and just let an absolute tidal wave of humanity mass migrate across our borders, millions and millions and millions of them, to include hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied minors? First of all, who sends a minor across the border by themselves? And by the way, some of them I know were trafficked, so there's that. But then once they get here, instead of doing a good job, we had an administration that for 4 years went, huh, I don't know what to do. They got a phone number in their pocket. I don't know, call it, see who's there. And then give the kids away. Give the kids away. I'm telling you, y'all, look, I am quoting to you from news sources. This all is real. This all happened. And we're doing all we can to right the wrongs right now. But it was official acts. Think about the White House. There's an old saying, as goes the king, so goes the country. Leadership matters. The southern border right now is a key example of what I just said. Leadership matters. Biden said he couldn't get it done. We got to have, like, Congress has got to weigh in. I can't do any more about the border, you know? And then Trump gets elected and shabam, immigration's done. Like, it's like the border's locked down. Hardly anybody's even cut. You can't even find somebody streaming across the border. And it's like crickets on the border now. That's leadership, y'all. Biden's got transgenders exposing themselves on the lawn of the White House. He's got TikTok videos of freak show people prancing up and down the halls of our much vaunted White House. He's got official policies. He's got members of his cabinet that are transgenders who are advocating, not just in their own personal life, but advocating for it for minors. What was the guy's name, the dude that wore the dress, Rachel Levine? My gosh, that Rachel Levine freak show was actually advocating for the idea of mutilating kids as an official act of the Biden administration. The Department of Education, the Biden Department of Education, made it an official policy to try and circumvent Title IX and say that dudes can be in girls' locker rooms because that's just okay now. No, it's not. But it was an official policy. How does a society get to the point that they can sacrifice children? Look at the Biden administration. They might not have burned them on the altar. They might not have cast them into the fire. But they sure did sacrifice them for their ideologies, didn't they? They absolutely did.
Kamala Harris, that's literally a core thing she ran on, was abortion. That was her top priority. Her entire campaign was around abortions. And there was also like the vasectomy vans in front of the DNC. Mm. Like when your whole messaging is to have less kids, on top of mutilating the kids that are already here. I'm sorry, you're
or
just
abandoning the kids that came over.
Yeah, you're just a party of evil at that point. And that's not a hyperbole, you know, hyperbolic statement. That's just fact. So
it is. It is. Listen, it's okay to say that, by the way. JP just put it real well. It's okay to say that. I mean, sometimes, and I think conservatives way more than the left. Now granted, I've seen, you know, people on the right side of the spectrum with, you know, zero ability to moderate their words. Sometimes saying something's not necessary. But let me tell you, too often I think we also moderate our terms when we don't need to. You can call evil evil. You can look it in the eye and you can say, you are officially evil. And I don't use that word loosely. I've said before that I will use that very sparingly because I know the intent behind it. I know it's like when the left calls everybody a Nazi. Do you know what a Nazi really is? Don't abuse the term. Okay, well, I don't abuse the word evil. I've only described a couple of organizations that way. One of them is Planned Parenthood. One of them is the teachers' unions in general. But I will call a vast official policy of mutilating, disregarding, aborting, and co-opting the safety of kids as an institution of evil. And that's what it is. There's no way around it. Yesterday, I've got this piece right here. I pulled it off the House Oversight Committee's website. It came out 2 days ago. I said it briefly in my monologue. Chairman Clay Higgins, the Republican congressman from Louisiana, delivered opening remarks. He chairs the Subcommittee on Federal Law Enforcement. And the hearing was actually titled, this is the name of the hearing, it's on the agenda, the Catch and Release, Lose and Forget hearing. Catch and Release, Lose and Forget, addressing the crisis of unaccompanied alien children. And oh, by the way, this is part one of a series of hearings. And in his remarks, he talked about the fact that DHS just came out with a report talking about how their own department had failed in previous years to properly safeguard children. He says, and he points out, there were hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied alien children who entered the United States illegally over the last 4 years. President Trump has taken decisive action to close the southern border, virtually eliminating the flood of illegal immigrants. However, the failures of the previous administration led to unaccompanied children who have been lost in a system that was established to protect them and protect the United States. The sheer volume of cases, he said, enabled the prior administration's open border policies and then overwhelmed the entire system. He says, the IG shared with my staff, this is the congressman talking, that almost 300,000 kids have unserved notices to appear for their court dates. And of that number, 58,000 are under the age of 12, and we have no idea where they are. No idea where they are. No idea where they are. All right, take me to a break there, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys, stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. So I did that entire last segment. That was a soliloquy without notes. That was just me talking from the heart. I've got a pile of stuff here that I do want to touch on some of it. Like, I will tell you, News Nation has a piece that just came out yesterday afternoon that confirms that the Trump administration has located more than 13,000 of these migrant children who came across unaccompanied that are, you know, had been missing. They've located 13,000 of them. It's a good start. But I also take note that in this News Nation story, it says that in addition to the 13,061 migrant minors that have now been accounted for, HHS told News Nation this week that Immigration and Customs Enforcement has also arrested 422 of their sponsors who were accused of abusing the minors in their care or of other crimes. Good Lord. And then he goes on to talk about how many kids that they're finding spread out around the nation. And they're actually starting a new thing. Where is this story I've got? I think it's this one from Daily Wire. Daily Wire has pointed out that, is it Daily Wire? Yeah, I think it is. That they are now working on repatriating some of these kids back to their home countries. And you look at that and go, okay, how do we do this? Whether we're not talking about every tender age child. We're talking about kids between the ages of 14 and 17, still minors, because once they turn the age of 18 in most cases, 19 in Alabama, but 18 in most cases, they're considered of the age of majority. But between 14 and 17, they're asking kids, do you want to go back to your home country? If they say yes, then they're being turned over to ICE for deportation proceedings and being treated well. They're not going to Alligator Alcatraz, nothing of that. But what was interesting to me was I guarantee you the left's going to scream about that. You're just putting minors on a plane and shipping them back home. Well, guess what? That's part of the Trafficking Victims Prevention and Protection Reauthorization Act of 2022 signed by the Otto Penn himself. So that's already the law. Democrats passed it.
You say the Otto Penn himself.
I did say the Otto Penn himself.
You personified the Otto Penn.
I did. I've got an audio clip here. By the way, how much time have I got? I'm burning my time. About
3.5 minutes.
Yeah. I may have to get that one after we talk to Erica Thomas. So I've got a piece right here, though. One of the most disturbing things is you really worry about these 300,000 kids that are missing. Tom Homan, piece on the New York Post, Dateline Today, says thousands of these kids who have disappeared have been sex trafficked to pedophiles. And he also revealed that most recently they found a 14-year-old pregnant girl living with a group of men just in the last couple of weeks. He says, we rescued victims of sex trafficking 2 weeks ago. We rescued a 14-year-old girl that was already pregnant living with adult men. We rescued some victims of forced labor. We found children working on ranches and chicken farms, not going to school, just enslaved labor in the United States. He says some of these children we found were perfectly fine with their families. They just didn't respond to the call-ins because they didn't want to face the immigration court. But they're also finding some that are not. And I look at this and go, my gosh. But, you know, let me make sure I'm clear. It's not just about the immigration issue, all right? We have to be a society that is proactively engaged in the idea of protecting kids. We have a story that just broke in Alabama that is perhaps one of the most heinous stories that I have ever heard of. In fact, it's even hard to talk about. And I'm going to warn you. I'm going to go ahead and tell some of y'all right now. I think it's a story you need to listen to. But I will also tell you that last night when I was listening to some of the details, it just so upset me that I didn't know if I could do the show today on it. And it happened right down the road in Bibb County, which, to give you the lay of the land, in case you're not familiar, if you were driving down I-20 from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa, Bibb County is halfway. All right, so Bibb County sits on the south side of I-20, halfway between Birmingham and Tuscaloosa. That's our back door. That's my listening area. That's right here in Alabama that they just found a group of these. I mean, if you see their pictures, you look at them and go, y'all look like something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a bunch of backwoods, inbred-looking miscreants who were literally, they had a bunker in the ground where they were trafficking kids for sex. And we're talking kids as young as 2 years old. They were torturing them. They were abusing them. They were raping them. And they went on for apparently several years. They had adults who would make appointments to come and spend time with these kids. They would sometimes make $1,000 a night selling kids for $200 an hour. In a storm shelter in the ground behind a shack in Bibb County, Alabama. Erica Thomas is going to be on in a few minutes. And I'm going to let her do the best she can to report on it because Erica first broke this story in May with 1819 News. And I'm going to tell you right now, 1819 News has come on the scene and has really just done an amazing job of making every other news site in the state look like you know, Bush League. They are reporting on things that people don't want to touch, and they are telling you stories that some people don't want to report. And Erica Thomas is about as sweet a person as it gets, but she told me last night she'll come on and talk with me, but it's hard to talk about. So we're gonna have this story on in a minute. This is I'm talking about this whole dipper is called Find the Children, where there were kids that were missing in Bibb County, Alabama. Some of them were found. I don't know how many were not. Y'all brace yourselves. It's a tough story. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. We're going to get you all the way to go home time. But right now, we're gonna do a little more on this topic. So dipper number one, I'm calling it Find the Children. And it's everything from finding these kids that are lost by the Biden administration to finding kids that are lost in the cracks of our society to also finding kids that are being taken into places they should never have to ever be going. A story broke most recently. And I'll be honest with you, It's our friends at 1819 News that, in my opinion, get the kudos for getting into this thing first. But the rest of the world's now talking about it. I've seen it on national news. I've seen it everywhere. And my friend Erica Thomas is an investigative reporter who does great work. She's been with 1819 since the beginning. And she's the one who has been reporting on this story out of Bibb County, Alabama. And I'm going to bring her on right now and let her do some talking. Erica Thomas, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. Although these kind of stories are really the kind that make me rethink my career sometimes. You know, I just think, yeah. I don't want to know the evil that exists out there, but somebody's got to do it. So I guess I will. But I will say this is difficult for even a reporter, a seasoned reporter, desensitized, I say, at times. This kind of story really hit me, and I know it really hit the investigators out there.
We had some DAs come down to Montgomery when I was in the state senate asking for us to strengthen some of the laws on child abuse, and I'm gonna never forget them saying, it's the worst part of their job because they have to look at the evidence in order to bring the conviction, and then they almost can't shake it off when they go home at night.
Yeah, and on this case, I've been combing through court documents since May. I actually broke this story on May 10th when they had the initial arrest of the one suspect, Andre Trejo Velasquez. He was charged initially with 6 counts of first-degree human trafficking. Now, this was before the indictments came down. When the indictments came down this week, that's when this case really blew up. A lot of the details from that indictment came out, and they were just shocking. In fact, this is the most shocking case in Bibb County history that involves sexual abuse of a child. Sheriff Jody Wade, who has been in law enforcement for 33 years, even said it's the most horrible case he has ever seen.
Yeah, I read that comment in one of your stories, and I can imagine. And I look at this too. I'd say beyond Bibb County, I've worked with kids. I don't know if you heard me say that earlier in the show. I've even worked with abused mm-hmm. kids and kids who have been, you know, drastically abused. But I don't know that I've ever seen such a congregation of just evil of this group of people that they've now indicted. Who, when you look at their mugshots, you think you guys are just like the lowest of the low trash of society. And not only that, not only they look like it, but they act like it.
Yeah, it really, it's weird to say this and kind of, I don't want to ever be I don't want to be confused and people thinking, oh, you're Hollywooding or romanticizing this. But truly, when you look at these people, you think, what kind of inbred mountain men movie did you just walk off a set of?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can just tell that's what they are. And that's what they were doing, allegedly. Now, some of them, I don't know the extent to their involvement, but people did this to these children in an underground bunker. They drugged them, tied them to poles and beds, and allowed people to pay to come in and sexually abuse these children. At the time of the crime, the youngest victim was only 2 years old.
So, let me ask you this. Were kids rescued in this? Did they go in there and find kids and rescue them, or do we just know now from confessions? What do you know about that?
Well, they did rescue the children in a way. They are now in the care of the Department of Human Resources, which we know that. But there's also other children out there that Jody Wade said, you know, he believes there's more victims that they haven't found yet. So they're going to hopefully locate those victims, and more suspects will be charged when they do. But these children were being brought into this underground bunker at different times. They were not living in there. So as they started to interview people in this case, they developed more information. And as the interviews continued, they realized just how many children were involved in this.
Do you know, and I hate to ask this, but were they filming them? Were they then selling the videos later too and all that? What do you know about that?
I haven't heard any specific details, but there are allegations of child porn. So that would be what you would assume they are talking about. There's also some really sickening details that came out this week about bestiality being involved in this case. You know, I just believe that the investigator said that these suspects were connected to a gang that primarily funds itself through human trafficking. So this was an operation that was a lot more widespread than just a little case in Bibb County.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say this little town, Brent, in Bibb County, and their sister city, Centerville, you know, they're just really rocked by what's happened. And so I do want to say something that will happen this weekend that I think is a good thing in reaction to this is there will be at least two prayer vigils planned. They're going to have one Saturday and one Sunday. And so, you know, it's just a really great way to kind of help the not only the community try to heal through this, but also pray for those victims and pray that the ones that are still out there are found and rescued.
Do you know, by the way, do you know the times and places of those prayer vigils? If you want to announce them, you're welcome to do it right now.
Yes, I can definitely do that, but you can also go to 1819news.com and click on my name, and you'll see all the stories on this under there in the details on this. But the first prayer vigil will be in the morning, Saturday morning at Friendship Lodge. That's a Mason Lodge. From 8 to 9 in the morning, and that will be in Centerville, like right in the town square of Centerville, so people can gather there for that. The second one will be Sunday evening at 6 p.m. at the historic Centerville Presbyterian Church. And Centerville's mayor, Mike Oakley, I talked to him yesterday, and he said, you know, this is just beyond believable that anything like this could happen in our community, in our neighboring community, and we just really want to reach out and love on our sister city and let them know that we're here for them.
That's good. That's the right reaction. And let me ask you, go back to the criminals. Were they transient, or did they live there? Were they residents of the area, or were they people who had kind of come in and set up shop? Do you know?
Well, there's so many people involved in this circle. Definitely there were some that born and bred in Bibb County, just live there. In fact, I think where the situation was going down, one of the suspects lived there on that property with his grandmother. His grandmother, who probably had no idea what was going on in her backyard. And the investigators said it would be very easy to sneak into this underground bunker, which was actually built as a storm shelter. It's like a cinder block underground storm shelter. So the old lady would have never had a clue what was going on, you know. And I think that's important to point out. But this kid, he lived there with her. And then there were others involved. One is a Hispanic male, and I just think it is so just beyond that we can't figure out if he was here legally or not. That's one of the questions we've been asking since the beginning. And Homeland Security, FBI, the local sheriff's office, they cannot say if this guy, who appears to be sort of the ringleader, is here legally or not. And I think that's something that the people deserve to know, the community deserves to know, you know, where this guy came from, how he got here. And I think we will eventually find that out, but why they're not releasing that is beyond me.
Yeah, I don't know either. And this, you know, I look at this situation that we've got, and I can't help but wonder, are they, and I hate to say this, but are they going to have to bring cadaver dogs out there to search the property? Because these are the kind of people that also eliminate the evidence. And I know I'm totally speculating when I say that. You're an investigative reporter. You go with facts. I'm just opining right now. But that there's going to be more that gets unfolded out of this, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be a good idea. I'm sure they've thought about that, these seasoned investigators out there. You know, they really have done a great job digging into what's happened. No pun intended, that sounded bad. But I'm sure, I guarantee you that with their knowledge and their experience, that is something they have thought about. So we will hope and pray that they've already done that and that they didn't find anything. I think that would be the best case. You know, a lot of people have actually kind of gotten upset with law enforcement for some of the things that they've said, even the DA. Some people, you know, they just say they don't like the way that they make positive out of some of this. I know I've gotten some of these comments from people. We have to remember, these investigators that are on the ground, they are dealing with this day in and day out, seeing some of the worst things you could possibly imagine seeing. And so when they say the good thing about this is we found the suspects on time, what they mean is, thank God there weren't more victims. And, you know, a lot of people are really sensitive to that, and they point out, why would they say there's anything good about this? There's nothing good about this. That's not what those investigators mean. They're just really glad that there won't be any more victims, because the repercussions of what these people did to these children are going to live in those kids for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
They're going to have impact from this forever. I mean, you basically ruined a life. And that's why they're having a prayer vigil now, you know, because that's the only thing we can do at this point is pray. Pray for those children, pray for the victims, and pray for the community.
Yeah, and I would say, too, be vigilant. Be vigilant, people. Prayerful, but vigilant. Mm-hmm. You know, keep your head on a swivel, and if you see something, say something, because these are kids. Well, my friend, you have once again nailed it. You're doing incredible work, and I'm so thankful for you and for the folks at 1819 and the work you do on this. So stay in the fight and keep us posted. If you see something else you want to jump on and talk about, you let me know, all right?
Thank you for having me, Phil, and God bless. Hope you have a beautiful weekend.
Yep, you too. Thanks,
and
my friend.
And also, yeah. You know, everybody just hug your children and love on them a little more, because these kind of stories really put things into perspective, even for those of us who don't live anywhere near Bibb County.
Yep, absolutely. You're right. Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you to Erica Thomas from 1819 News. You can find her stories at 1819news.com. I've got several of them stacked up right here, but I don't think I need to even cover them now because she did so well. She wrote them. She investigated them. She was the first reporter in the state of Alabama to find out about this stuff. She began uncovering it before they even had the unfolding of the indictments. But I want to make sure I make one more point before I go to the break, and that is this, that is not a reflection of Bibb County. And I think that needs to be said. That is not a reflection of the good salt of the earth people from Bibb County, Alabama. Because there's going to be people out there right now who have connections with or maybe in right now in Bibb County, Alabama. And the people of Brent, that is not them. These are criminal acts by some of the most evil, depraved people you will ever look at. And if you see their picture, you can't even feel sorry for them because they don't even look like they try to take care of themselves, much less anybody else. But I'm saying, that's not Bibb County, Alabama. What happened is a depraved act of an isolated group of people, but it still happened. And we have to keep our eyes wide open, our heads on a swivel, see something, say something, and now we'll take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, so just in case you missed it, if you're down that way or you live in Bibb County or you just want to go down and be a part of supporting the community, because this is, listen, it's bad enough when you find out about this in big cities, but when you're in a small town, everybody sees and knows everybody, right? That is absolutely the case. So the small town of Brent, Alabama in Bibb County is, and Erica said it, has been rocked by this. Like, it's not only disgusting, now you find out it's right down the road and you just can't help but think, did I see something at a gas station I didn't pay attention to? Was there somebody in the grocery store that I should have looked twice at? Was that little girl in the restaurant who looked at me when I was waiting the tables, did it mean something? And so I know that small town right now is just rocked by this because they all know each other. I mean, look it up, if you would mind, Brent, Alabama population and see what it comes up. But it's a small town. I mean, I bet you it's going to be a population somewhere around 5,000. What do you think?
2,600.
2,600, half that.
That was in 2023.
Okay, so that's a town. That's not a city. That's going to be a Class 6 municipality. But so the bottom line is this. There are two prayer vigils this weekend. And I love the fact that the mayor of Centerville said this is because they want to stand there with their, he called it their sister city, Brent. So he said it's strictly come as you are. There's no getting dressed up in your Sunday go to meeting clothes, none of that. But there's two prayer vigils. One is tomorrow morning in Centerville, Alabama, at the Friendship Lodge number 83, which is a Masonic Lodge, I believe she says in downtown. And then the other one is going to be at the historic Centerville Presbyterian Church at 6 p.m. on Sunday. So tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and on Sunday at 6 p.m., the first one is at the Masonic Lodge in downtown, the Friendship Lodge, and the other one is in the Centerville Presbyterian Church. Small towns, big prayers. So you guys think about that. If you want to support them, there you go. Those are the opportunities. When we get back, I'll wrap this topic up, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. You're welcome to text in. Some of y'all are already there, and I'm pretty sure we're forming a posse, and a lynch mob is forming as we speak. And I'll tell you, as much as I'm not going to ever advocate for mob violence, but this is the kind of thing that makes street hangings look like it's supposed to be okay. But I definitely want justice. If they weren't involved and they've been swept up in the indictments, then I hope that they're excused from this and they're innocent and they'll get to move on with their lives. But if they were any tangentially involved, even if they had just knowledge and did nothing, I want justice for these little kids right here in Alabama. When we come back, I'll wrap it up and I'll tell you, the Biden administration, going back to that thing about 300,000 kids, allegedly they put safeguards in place. They did? Yes, allegedly they had a hotline where kids could call. Kids. They gave you a phone number on the way out the door, which to me just smacks of just like indifference. Here's my number, kid. Let me know if I can do something for you. How many times have you seen somebody drop a card and go, here's my card. Give me a call if I can help you. And they don't even mean it. That's the way this feels. And so we'll talk about how awful and ill-run that program was. Text line is 833-687-4448, and that's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it, call it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Oh, man. I mean to say it goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now call once again Fort Benning. Benning! And big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure, and that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show every single day. We can see you on there. We see you. And you're live streaming the show every single day on places like YouTube, X, and Rumble, and Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. Live streaming, looking right into the studios. Thank you very much. And then, oh, by the way, you podcasters that catch it after the fact, we love you too. We appreciate you. Listen, y'all, we can't do it without y'all. We can't. You're the reason why we exist. So we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you very much. I'm going to get a bunch of text messages here in a minute because this one has y'all stirred up too, and I can tell. Let me do this, though. This whole thing about the 300,000 kids that Biden lost. I mean, like, he didn't even know. He was so busy trying to get his next pudding cup and taking a nap at 3 in the afternoon that there is either a reckless callousness or there's a recklessness and a disregard for human life in the way they treated these unaccompanied minors. But they did give them a hotline. There is that. What? Yeah. I mean, this is like second. I mean, so first of all, the Biden administration, you want to come to the United States? We got an app for that. Oh, aren't you technology based? And then, oh, you're a 7-year-old who had a phone number written on your arm and some guy named Guido showed up to pick you up and you don't know him, but we're going to give you to him anyway. Well, here's a phone number you can call if you have any trouble. Here, kid, take the phone number with you. That's how they got here, was with a phone number. And now you're going to send them off with somebody and give them another phone number? Here, kid, if you have any problems, give this number a call. We'll help you out. Well, they did. And Daily Caller has a piece. And I've got an audio clip, and I'll be calling up, this is Audio 1, JP. I got an audio clip of the president and founder of a group called GARD, which is a anti-human trafficking organization, specializes in trying to rescue migrant children and all. Her name is Allie Hopper. And Allie testified before Congress the other day, and then she was on the Ingram Angle with Laura Ingram. And she talked about this hotline, this phone number that the Biden administration gave kids and how ineffective it was. Play that sound clip.
I want to talk about how the border impacts this already huge problem in the United States and globally. So the Biden administration lost track of 300,000 children who crossed the border. You testified on Capitol Hill, I know, last week about a hotline that was given to these unaccompanied minors. You said 65,000 calls to this hotline number, I guess they had access to, between, what was it, August 2024 and Inauguration Day? What happened with those calls?
Yeah, so it was a safeguard put in place by the previous administration, and it looked good on policy. It looked good on paper. But when the policy doesn't actually work, when what was implemented as a safeguard doesn't work, and you only have one person assigned to the hotline to manage and field all of these calls, that is what happens. And that is what results with 65,000 unanswered calls. One of the stories was that a child had called into the hotline reporting that men were coming into his room at night and they were touching him. That call went unanswered until this administration took office and acted very swiftly, conducted a home study, a welfare check, rescued the child, and the sponsor's been arrested. But there are numerous cases like this. And honestly, this would have never been uncovered until this administration took over and reviewed
shut down the border. Shut down the border and federal charges, conspiracy to child sex traffic charges, RICO charges, whatever you have to do. This should be so painful for these individuals, they wouldn't even consider doing
it. I completely agree with Laura Ingram. So, yeah, I mean, how benign is that? How lame, how absolutely loser lame is that? I mean, that's like taking the field without your uniform on. They're just like, I don't know, we're just here, you know. We're going to go ahead and just take the L if you don't mind. They just gave kids a phone number, and then they put one person on the hotline. You had 300,000 kids, and you gave one person the job of answering the phone. And they missed 65,000 phone calls. They can tell because the system tells them how many times the phone rang and it wasn't answered. And then you got this piece, and I know we're wearing it, but we're not wearing it out. This is important. It's not just sex trafficking. It's not just abuse, and it's not just losing them. It's also, there is slavery in the United States today. Where's the left on this? There's slavery in the United States. Did you know, look at this. I got the article in my hand right now. Hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. USA Today had an article in January of this year. Two multi-billion dollar meatpacking companies will each pay $4 million in fines after federal investigations revealed they have been illicitly employing dozens of children through staffing agencies in their plants. Kids, most of which have been migrant workers. Kids working in meatpacking plants, which is, by the way, a dangerous occupation. But there's also child labor laws. And then there's like the whole thing about their illegal migrants. So you didn't check their status. You hired them and they were underage. And you put them to work anyway. And you probably paid them a subpar wage. And so, yeah. These companies are facing that. Do you remember, like, what, 3 weeks ago, they had the big raid on the pot farm out in California, arrested something like close to 400 illegals. 400! That's a big pot farm, by the way. But they arrested hundreds of illegal aliens in one place. They found a dozen minor kids there working on a pot farm. Unaccompanied, by the way.
Yeah, not a peep from the left on the child labor.
Not a bit.
They're scaring the kids and families raiding a pot farm. They have no right to do that.
Oh, my gosh. All right, listen, that's a lot. That's a lot. I don't mean to weigh down your Friday afternoon, but that's just a topic that I couldn't ignore it. We had to go with it. Let me get some text messages and start catching up. Reaching back earlier in the show, John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Thank you. He said, one of your best. Also, did you hear that 48 pastors were killed in a Russian plane crash? I did hear that. He says, by the way, JP, I'm expecting today to be one of your best ever sports segments.
No pressure.
No pressure. Shane from Lacey Springs says, speaking of God's children, Phil, they rang the bell for my beautiful granddaughter, Ivy, today at Children's Successful Transplant. Happy Friday. Shane, that is awesome. Give me some applause for that, and maybe even a hallelujah. How about that? That's just good. Praise God for that. Little Ivy. So little Ivy, just to update you guys, this is last Wednesday, I believe it was. Shane from Lacey Springs texted in and said, would y'all please pray for little Ivy? No, I take it back. It was Tuesday. And she was in the middle of a heart transplant while we were on the air at 9 months old, y'all. 9 months old. And she's doing awesome. So they rang the bell for her, which I believe means that everything is done and she gets to go home. That's praise God. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate you letting us know. Tom with all the kids in Huntsville. Tom with all the kids says, when people ask why I have so many kids, I tell them I can't be a Christian and not go where God calls me. He's called to be a daddy. Thank you, Tom. By the way, Tom has a ton of kids. Remind me again. I believe
it was 17.
Oh, my gosh.
I think 10 of his own and 7 adopted. I think something like that.
Tom with all the kids. That's why he's called Tom with all the kids. Dustin from Hillsborough says, as you know, Phil, I also was a Young Life leader back in Cincinnati. Thank you very much. Said, I also work with kids that were put in alternative to juvenile school or juvenile jail. Even though the two groups were worlds apart in every way, they were all the same and how my heart would break for their lives. At the same time, to see them come to a new life made the tough stuff worth it. Yeah, it does. It does. It absolutely does. I went from working in that treatment center with kids who had addictions and behavioral disorders and abuse and psychological disorders. I went from there to working in full-time ministry because I felt like I was being told to heal kids from the outside in, and I believe that true healing comes from the inside out. So I went into full-time ministry from there. And I still saw messed up kids. They just weren't in a treatment center. Jamie from Pulaski, Alabama, said there's a special place in hell for these animals. Yes, there is. Richard from Madison says, this story just got sicker and sicker. In this case, I would have no problem with instant justice. There you go. Mark from Huntsville says, the heinous nature of this crime should be a wake-up call to every American about the dangers of human trafficking. Yes, it should, Mark. And that's why I was saying a minute ago, it's important that we see something, say something. It's not that we like see, you know, a demon under every rock. It's not what I'm saying. There are good people too, obviously. But we need to be aware of the fact that evil exists and be able to see it and go, uh-oh, that's not right. I need to check on that. And then just do your part. Brand spanking new texter in the text lines, Michael from Decatur. It's his first time texter, longtime listener. Concerning the Bibb County, the men who hurt those children need a... Okay, and he just basically advocates for putting them out of our misery. And I'll leave it there. Thank you, Michael. Glad you're in the text lines. Paul from Athens, Alabama, I'm sorry, says, my guess is that the children were not from Brent. I don't know that for a fact, although there is talk that one of the people involved was a parent of the children. So I don't know how that plays out yet, Paul. Penny from Athens says, Phil, child sexual abuse is running rampant, it seems. We've had 2 cases in 2 days in Athens, and we need public hangings. Yep. Convict them, hang them, right there in the public square. Joe from Tennessee says, the evil in Bibb County is why the phrase he-they needed killing was invented. Okay, I guess I'm getting a lot of this right now. I better start reading these texts before I read them out loud. The show does not advocate for vigilantism, although we do understand what you mean. Al from Athens says, after hearing the story, I don't know if there's enough millstones.
Yeah okay. Okay, I'll start.
You start screening for me? Yeah, okay. Sorry. Jeff from Athens, can I read that one?
That's a good one.
Hey, Phil, I said, all the garbage in the political world aggravates me. However, the 300,000 missing children that Biden lost truly angers me. I said, I have 5 precious grandchildren. If I have 5 precious grandchildren, if I caught someone harming one of them, this big old boy might open something up on that perpetrator that might get me in serious trouble. I feel the same way about any innocent child. As you say, stay vigilant, people. There it is. Tom with all the kids again, by the way, says also kudos and thanks to the kids, Thanks kids to love who provided the scholarship for my son. Okay, thank you. I just realized that should have been capitalized as to love. Gotcha. And then Jamie from Pulaski, Alabama says it's Jamie from Pulaski, Tennessee. So you've corrected that, I see.
I have, yes.
All right. Jamie, we like Pulaski, Tennessee, too. So thank you very much. All right, there you go. I'm taking a break. We're taking a break, coming right back. We're going to wrap up this whole schmeal, move on to other things. And then coming up top of the hour, we'll switch gears together, lighten things up, go to some JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.